Hey, y'all, on this episode of the Carolina Chuck Podcast, we're going to talk to Nashville recording artist Stephen Cowley. He's putting North Country country on the map. So let's check him out. Y'all be good. Peace out. So what's up, Steven? You said you drove an hour and a half here to hang out with me, huh?
Yeah, man.
Where are you
happy to be
from?
Here. Cato.
Where the heck is that at?
It's like, how would I describe it? It's like out towards Syracuse-ish. It's like 35 minutes to the west of Syracuse. Weedsport.
Okay.
Auburn type area.
Okay.
Little town out there.
Oh, heck yeah. So for the past, I don't know, week, I've been listening to your music, dude. And hey. ESPN, silence. but, dude, I like what you've done. How long you been in the music like that?
Really taking it super serious, you know, making a run at it.
Yeah.
Probably 5 or 6 years.
Really?
Now, yeah. Something like that. Really making a run of it.
Really?
You know, I started when I was, like, 15, kind of goofing off, you know. And
yeah.
And I do, like, a couple open mics and, you know, stuff like that, and... Then I started taking it serious, went to Nashville.
So starting at 15 doing open mics, I mean, where did the music come from? Like, how did you know that you were going to do music?
Man.
Like, where did you start?
I had no, that's the whole thing about this that's always wild to me is, like, mm-hmm. It's such a huge part of my life now.
Mm-hmm.
No, if you'd asked me when I was 15, 16, 17, like,
yeah.
Are you going to freaking go out and play big shows and stuff? I'd be like,
yeah.
No, dude, what are you talking about? Like, I had no idea that I even wanted to do this. It just kind of happened. Started playing. You know, I just always loved country music.
Right.
You know, the only reason I started playing guitar was to spite my brother because he always told me I couldn't play his guitar when he wasn't home.
I'm telling you, the people that tell you can't do something are messing up. Or
don't touch my guitar.
Actually doing you a favor.
Right. You'd be like, don't touch my guitar. So I'd go in there and be like, I'll play your guitar.
Yeah, yeah. Heck yeah,
So
dude.
I started learning how to play guitar, and then I just got obsessed with that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, it just went from there, man.
And you got a heck of a voice. It's incredible.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
I mean,
that.
Some of the songs I was listening to, I was like, I'm like, this is great. Like, you're pretty dang good.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah, I'm telling you. There was one I heard earlier, and then I was, before you got here, I can't remember what it was. I was going through it and trying to find it again, so I get to listen to it some more because I'm going to have to figure out what song that was.
Yeah.
It was a really good damn song.
Thanks,
for sure.
Man.
So when you say you played some big shows, now I saw on your I think it was Spotify or something, one of your websites that you played with some big names.
Yeah, we've gotten the opportunity. We've had some opportunities to play with like Jake Owen, Warren Zider, Chase Rice, Lee Bryce, Rodney Atkins.
Really?
A bunch of guys, yeah.
Let's take me from the open mic.
Mm-hmm.
To when you were like, hey, we're gonna do this. How did that happen?
So I originally, man, and I'm just gonna be blatantly honest on here. I don't know if I've ever been like super blatantly honest.
Yeah.
When I was like, you know, just like everybody, when I was like 17, 18,
mm-hmm.
if I had a little extra money to go grab a tin of dip,
yeah,
a Mountain Dew, and put gas in my pickup,
yeah,
I was in.
Yeah.
So, you know, the local bar in town, they saw my mom would post videos of me like playing and singing my guitar. And I specifically remember getting like 300 views and being like, oh my dude.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm famous.
Right. Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about.
But
and I can't sing a lick.
But he was like, what if you did like the open mic here? I had no idea what that meant. You know, crappy little speaker and board and stuff, and he was like I'll pay $120 if you do it every week. And I was like, $120 a week, my god, which to this day was an astronomical amount of money to offer like
right.
a 17 year old kid to go in there and like you know, completely screw up an entire night at the bar. But it started like that. I just wanted extra money,
right?
That's it. Then I was like, man, this is pretty awesome.
Yeah, this is, you know, I could do this.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I went to, I specifically remember I went to Gary Allen. I watched Gary Allen play at Turning Stone.
Okay.
I love Gary Allen.
Okay.
And I looked at my buddy that was with me, and I was like, I'm going to do that. And he's like, what are you talking about, dude? I was like, I'm going to do that. I just like that. And he's like, whatever. Didn't even, like, it was like, okay. And I called my mom's husband, so my stepdad, Bob. And I was like, because his brother was in music, bunch of guys he knew. And I was like, how do I do this?
Yeah.
Full time. Like, how do I do it? He's like, I'll take you down when my brother plays. We'll figure it all out. So I went to this little place called Iona Corners, and I met Kevin Berger there, whose brother is Lauren Berger. He played with Tommy Emmanuel and stuff. But Kevin's an incredible musician, played all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Then he hooked me up with like an agent or a booking agent.
Okay.
And he started getting me a ton of shows. And then slowly I started putting a band together. And then, you know, it came together and fell apart three times before it really came together.
Now, where are you finding these band members? You're just recruiting yourself, or so is he helping you?
My first couple of bands, we just kind of throw together. So, you know, Kevin would help me find guys or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I met my guitar player, Chad Mack, and now we have, like, a band. We've been together 3-4 years now. We're playing all over the place. That's like, those are my guys. This is our crew, you know.
Yeah.
So it's different. It's much different now than it was. Just because things have gotten, I don't know, more serious, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
So you've got, when you started, what was your first big show?
Rodney Atkins. We opened for Rodney Atkins. That was like the first time.
Where at?
I forget the name of the place. It was in, I want to say like Rochester area. It was an outdoor amphitheater.
Okay.
And we were the opener. An opener.
Hey.
And we went out, and I remember just how big the stage was. I was like looking at my bass player. He was like 20 feet away from me and my guitar. I'm like, dude, what are we? I'm talking went from like bars, like just bumming around bars, which is great. There's nothing wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
To like, I was like, holy shit. I don't, you know.
Yeah.
But it ended up really opening my eyes to like, this is what professionalism looks like. And at the time I thought it was professional and awesome,
mm-hmm.
and it wasn't.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was like, that was almost a moment where I was like, we got to buckle this down, and if I want to do this, like.
How'd the show go?
It went good. It went as good as it could have at that time.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, my family was there. They were completely, you know, like, we're from a tiny town. Rodney Atkins was like,
Rodney Atkins,
you know. Yeah. So it was like, they were blown away, but looking back on it, it was a terrible performance. Horrible. It was atrocious.
I mean, how about your nerves, though? How did that go?
Oh, dude, I didn't, like, you start singing and you don't even think you're in your own body, and your like fingers are numb and stuff. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Terrible.
Man, I couldn't imagine how that goes. I mean, I did a little boxing. The only thing I've been really out in front of people was boxing, right? So.
Well, that's even more gnarly. You know?
Yeah, but you've got a fight going on, so that's I don't know.
Yeah,
you're not in complete control of the situation.
That's what I mean. Did you go on stage? I go out on stage, I kind of know what's gonna happen a little. You're just like, this guy's gonna punch me in the face.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, that's awesome, dude. Because here's the thing, like, this is sort of what my show was based on, was discovering things about the North Country. When I came up here, and this is why you're perfect for the show. I realize how freaking country it is up here, because back home, we don't know nothing about New York but the dang city.
Isn't it crazy?
It is insane.
So many people say that, especially when I go to Nashville and stuff.
Yeah.
One of my producers was in the band Blackhawk. Remember Blackhawk?
No, I don't remember Blackhawk.
If you heard a couple songs, you'd be like, I know Blackhawk. But
yeah.
He was a drummer for me. Anyway. And when I walked in, he was like one of the only people that was like, you're from New York? And I was like, yeah. He's like, where?
Yeah.
And I told him, he's like, man, he's like, we were up there on tour a couple of times. He's like, there's nothing up there.
Yeah, yeah. And because I got a buddy who's in the country band right now, and actually the whole band. And the thing is I was like, I came up here, we were like, we're going to go see these guys play. I'm like, I don't know about these New York people playing country music. We went down there, he blew me away. I mean, it was incredible. And then I was like, this place is country when you got the dang Amish buggy hitched up at the Walmart. Yeah. Down here. I was like, dang, dude. I was like, where the heck am I?
Yeah, you know? Stepping over the horses in the parking lot. Yeah.
Yeah. But no, see, that's why I dig it, because I think y'all you've got a, like a serious thing needs to happen with North Country country music. And I think you're doing it, and I think he's doing it. And I mean, you got a head start on him, but I think y'all have a lot. Y'all got a lot to put. You got some a mark to make on the map.
Man, I appreciate
for
that.
The whole world. Thank you. You know what I mean? Because this, and that's kind of what I was trying to do with the show. That's why this thing fits so well. Is dude, there's some. It's when I came up here, wasn't nothing but talking about race cars and all kinds of stuff. Snowmobiling. I ain't never been on a snowmobile, but four wheeling. It's
yeah. It's funny too, because. It's you go down to Nashville mm-hmm. and you meet a lot of guys, you know, but the people I hang out with are just like yeah. us, man. They're country yeah. and like my brother's father-in-law is a freaking cash crop farmer.
Yeah.
You know, we were all blue cow my whole life. That's yeah, it. No, you know, yeah, as country yeah. as it gets. I didn't even know. I was just telling somebody this in an interview not too long ago. It's like, I didn't even know that there was, that it was a thing to be from New York when I was a kid. No idea. Yeah. Because I didn't.
Right.
I grew up around, I was one light town, middle yeah, of nowhere. No. There was more cows in my county than people.
Right,
there
right,
still
right.
is.
Yeah,
it's like, you know. So it's like,
yeah,
it was a weird dynamic. When I would the first couple of times I kind of got out of state, and people were like, "You're from New York?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And they're like,
"What?" Yeah, I know that's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's it's weird because here's how I figured it out. And me, I'm. In my 30s, you know, grown, and I was supposed to yep. know a little bit of stuff, but I came up here about a little over three years ago. We went to Darien Lake to Six Flags because my wife's from up here, and but she grew up back home with me, you know, not with me, but in the same town. Yep.
I knew what you meant, dude.
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute, shit. Yeah. I'm a little bit older than her, but anyway, so we came up here to Darien Lake and said, we'll go to Niagara the next day. I'm like, oh, okay, I forgot that's in New York. Yeah, we'll go over there and check that out. We drove an hour up there. I'm like, all right, you know, this is cool. We got to see the water, whatever. All right, we're going to go to Watertown. It's 3 hours away. I said, 3 hours? I'm looking at the start. That's when I looked at the map. I'm like, God Whoa, dang, this state's vast, bro. Yeah, I'm like, what the heck? Here. And then I got up here, and I was always had like a phobia of New Yorkers.
Chip on your shoulder.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how these people are going to be. And, dude, everybody's super cool and nice, you know. And yep. I could tell the difference between the city people and the North Country people. And it's kind of neat.
Yeah. And that's what, like, being from here, yeah. and now that I, you know, I'm out and, you know, I've been to a lot of places or whatever, I don't know.
Yeah.
It is so cool how proud people from the South are of being Southern.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it makes you know, especially being a country artist, it makes me a little jealous. Like I can be proud of my hometown because it's yeah. awesome, but like there's something about being proud of being Southern that's like it makes you jealous when you're from the North. It's like because it's so, it is yeah. awesome down there. Everything's better.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell you one thing that I have noticed. You can drive all around this town. And you ain't going to see not one New York flag hanging out. Now, this flag right here was just, yep. I got another one that hangs on my porch. People are like, what does that flag represent? I said, that's the damn South Carolina flag. What do that's you mean? Right. And everybody's got them on their porch back home. You know what I mean? So that's a weird thing, too.
Well, it's funny because this state, and I definitely don't want to get political on here, yeah, but yeah. it's funny because this state is like, if you're from this part of the state, you're not.
Yeah,
I don't care about New York.
Yeah,
I care about my hometown. I care about my people. But there's a huge divide between the way we live on the top side of the state and that little tiny spot at the bottom of that state. It should be two different things.
I know. We don't want. I've heard it since I got here. Yeah. I swear.
You know?
I mean, I ain't, you know, I'm not coming up here to change the politics or anything. You know?
Right, right.
But I have heard that since I've got here. And
yeah.
And I could tell that it's two different kind of people for sure.
Yeah. Well, if you're standing in New York City or you think about New York, it doesn't make any sense to them to have a rifle. And they're like, what do we need a rifle for?
Yeah, yeah.
But when you're hunting every
right.
season yep. and you know.
Me God and my, almighty, the deer out here are huge.
Oh, dude. Man. I got to show you the one I killed last year. But me and my girlfriend just bought 40 acres of land.
How many?
40.
40?
Yep, out in Cato.
With a zero on it, yeah.
Yeah, well, and we're building the house on it, and it's like, to us, it makes a whole bunch of sense to have a gun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's like,
yeah.
why should that small area dictate
right.
a large swath of the state. So, and not that, you know, whatever. I don't know anything. I'm probably wrong, but that's just how
I got what you're saying. I mean, because, I mean, the rifle, like, hunting is a part of it. And then not only that is the fact that you need protection.
Oh, do it. Yeah. Okay. Thank God. Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, you're there's police and stuff down there, and you're out there and you need protection. Plus, you're in a, your state's kind of crazy, so you need.
When you can walk in a store and steal $999 worth of stuff and not get in trouble, there's something a little wrong there.
I ain't gonna lie, man. It's kind of weird. I mean, I ain't, like I said, I ain't about changing nothing or nothing like that. But yeah, it's a little bit different enough, what I'm used to. You know what I mean? Like back home, I'm from South Carolina, but I lived on the border, and I remember being in North Carolina right before I came up here, and I mean, there's people, everybody's got pistols on their hip, you know what I mean? Like,
no big deal. That's kind of how it is even in my town. I mean, you can't open carry here, but everybody's got a gun on them. Just assume it.
Yeah.
You know, and to that, when you grow up that way, and I think this is where the divide is like, to me, and again, I don't know shit, so
yeah.
I don't know anything, but the divide is like, if you grow up that way, that's so natural. That's so, like, it's second nature to go out and shoot at a duck or shoot a buck and have a gun on you and do all that. When you don't grow up that way at all, that's the same for you. So when you see somebody with a gun, you're like, holy cow, like, what, you know, what do you need that for? Because have you been to New York City?
I ain't never been to New York
City. I went for the first time in my life last year.
Really?
I've been to, well, not everyone, but I've been to all kinds. I've been to Chicago. I've been all over New York City for the first time. And when you go there, man, I was like, whoa. This is different. Like,
yeah. Is it?
Concrete jungle, man. There's nothing but concrete.
Last week I had a, you know, he's a really cool guy. He's from Queens, though. He was on my show. Mm-hmm. He's been up here for a very long time. He's a radio and TV guy. Actually has a show with NBC. But you could tell the accent's different. I mean, he really got that accent. But he's honestly, I guess he fell in love with this place kind of for the same reason. It was way different than the city. And I don't know. He fits in pretty good. But God, he talks so fast, bro.
Like, oh, man. So I've tried to almost take it out of my voice.
Yeah.
But there's – and people up here I don't even think realize they do it. But I've done a couple interviews, and my buddy Styles – I'll give Styles a shout-out. My buddy Styles Hari from Nashville.
What's up, Styles?
Yeah. He's got some accolades, by the way. Go check out his new single, 100%. And he wrote Luke Bryan – a Luke Bryan number one and stuff. But he
wrote Luke Bryan what?
He wrote Country On.
Really?
Yep. And he's done a lot of other stuff too. He's with the same, we're with Run the Roost, but he's incredible. I mean, the dude is just done it all. But anyway, I don't even remember where I was going. Oh, he would hear me in interviews and be like, dude, you sound so Canadian. And you don't realize it, but if you talk to a farmer in my hometown, it's insane. And they don't even realize it, do they? Like, yeah, went out and checked the crop this morning, and they have like a weird draw that they do, and it's you get all different.
Yeah, in the state, I ain't gonna lie, everybody up here sounds Canadian to me.
So he said the same thing, and I'm like, I don't sound Canadian. What are you talking about? And but you can really hear it with old farmers in my area.
Oh yeah,
beans are pretty dry. I'm like, whoa.
I mean. Whatever. I mean, I ain't never been this close to another country before in my life. We're 29 miles from Canada.
Yeah.
Like, what the heck? You know, it's pretty crazy. Anyways, let's get back to your music.
Yeah,
so,
sorry.
No, you're good, man. Hey, I told you it's therapy.
Yeah.
So are you writing songs? Is that what you're doing? Or are you getting these good songs from?
Yeah, so I've written a bunch of them. I will cut outside songs if they're.
Yeah. If they fit your...
If they fit, and, you know, I like the ones, obviously, I write with a core group of guys, my buddy Styles, my buddy James Kelly, and if those guys have something that they think that would fit my project, and I listen to it, and I love it, I'll cut it.
Bro, and I'm not saying that you gotta... Dude, there's things that people are good at, and like you are definitely a performer and you can sing, and I'm not saying, I'm not criticizing you.
Thanks,
for,
man.
For the writing thing. That's why I'm just asking, just out of curiosity. But I think that there's a lot of people out there writing some good songs that need people like you to perform them. But dude, oh man, dang, honestly, I really like your stuff.
Thanks, man. Like, that means a lot. I'm serious.
I swear, like it, I was digging it. I was listening to it all day today and for the past week, just picking one at a time. But I think you got something going on. Like you really got something that could. Cause dude, some of those songs are like super catchy. Like I don't know what direction you were going to go in next, but I mean, they're definitely better than some of the stuff I heard on the radio.
Thanks, man. You know what I mean? A lot of it has very little to do with me, yeah. Which I know everybody's supposed to say that, but I mean it. Like, and I think it's any career path like this where you're trying to do something. Cause like, it's insane, you know?
Yeah,
like it's probably not gonna work, but you're like, I drive towards it every day, like it's gonna,
yeah, heck, you know, yeah.
And there's like so many weird, and I'm sure you've had this same experience. There's so many weird opportunities that come along, and weird situations you get put in where it's like, if that didn't happen, nothing else would have. Right. And it's been like that my whole, like with the songs, I met Styles.
Mm-hmm.
Styles just happened to be, you know, I knew him before. He was just like me, just trying. Now he's like, you know, one of the top 100 writers in Nashville and all this crazy stuff. And it's like, I just happened to become buddies with him. And that's where a lot of the professionalism and the lyrics come from. And I write some too, but I would push a lot of credit off on just the team I have around me. My buddy James Kelly, my buddy Styles Hari, my guitar players, you know, incredibly talented. There's a lot of people around me that are really keeping this ball spinning with me, but you know,
they're building that brand though. So I'm gonna tell you how a quick story. I mean, this is probably not gonna go on the TV or anything, but it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So the guy I was telling you about from up here, his name is Josh Cox, right?
Okay.
So he's a state police officer, and he's a huge athletic dude. He's crazy. But my buddy was like, hey, we're going to go watch my buddy's band tonight. So we went down there, and they blew me away. I was like, that was great. So I cut commercials. That's how I kind of got a name for myself for the dealership that I work at, radio commercials, because I sound different, you know?
Yep.
And I cut a commercial because, like, I knew I had to brand myself, so I get to write them and spit them out.
Yeah.
And 1 month, I said, we got so many trucks out here, it looks like the parking lot of a Morgan Wallen concert, because it was when that song, that sweet, the last night, song came out. And so we were talking about, I spit that out there. So the next month, we were talking about local stuff. So I said, we got so many trucks and stuff out here, the local people buying, it looks like a Josh Cox and the Rattlesnakes concert. And I just saw the guy play. Never met the guy before in my life. And it turns out, literally the next day, he was going to my gym. And he heard it, and he loved it. Yeah, he's like, that's awesome. And what else did we do? I ended up opening up for him at the fair. And then we ended up, I called up the Riley Green. And Parmalee was coming to town.
I freaking love Riley Green.
Yeah, man. So I talked to the people at the that was putting on the concert. And I got him to open up for those guys. I was like, you got to get my band in there. So they opened up for them. They kind of blew up, you know what I mean?
And oh, yeah.
He just opened up for Justin Moore, too.
Love Justin Moore. Yeah, I saw that. It was at...
right here in town.
Yeah. We were going to do a show there, and then something happened. I can't remember. It was after Justin Moore. It was another Nashville act that was coming in.
I can't remember. There's a couple of things. They lost a couple shows there this year. But no, dude, I dig the music scene. I have zero musical talent. But I like blowing stuff up.
Me too,
up,
man.
You know what I mean?
Get serious. Out of here, bro.
But, dude, I'd like to get y'all two hooked up because I think that would – I've got two different kind of things you're doing, but it would make a damn good show if y'all did it together. Oh, dude,
yeah. Let's do it.
Get y'all hooked up. Let's go – so what are you working on anything new now?
So I have another song that I'm going to be releasing called Way With Timing. Right now my newest single is That's How It Starts. It's still streaming pretty good, so I'm kind of holding my other one there. But the next song I'm putting out is my favorite song I've ever been a part of writing. It's got Styles Hari, James Kelly, and Dave Frazier on it. Yes. So Styles, Hari, James Kelly, Dave Frazier, myself wrote it. And it's called Away With Timing. It was the title I had. And that one means a lot to me. So
really?
I'm excited for it to come out. Yeah.
So what do you mean, like, they helped you write it? Like, they're kicking out
the
music?
No, a lot of times when you write these songs, like, a lot of country songs have, like, 3-4 people on them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Different writers. You get into, like, pop, which is funny because, like, that scene, there's a lot of, like, just, like, one catchy saying. They say it over and over and over again.
Right.
They'll have, like, 8 writers on it. No, and I'm always like, how did it take 8 people? You know, and it's just me being whatever. Yeah, but it's like, how did it take 8 people? But because country's like this, if you're writing the kind of country I like, it's like a story and it's got this and that going on. And four kind of, I write with incredible dudes, but we're all kind of, none of us did well in English, I don't think.
Yeah. Listen, there was a couple of your songs that I was listening to that, they got real specific in them, right? So I think that some of them didn't necessarily hit with me, but like the way you got really specific, like somebody's gonna resonate with that, with those things you say. Like in some of the songs that I hear, like you'll hear something about like your mama dying or something like that, and you're like automatically, this is your song. But you've got your songs loaded up with stuff like that that's gonna touch people. Certain people and almost a lot, the way the music is, it's going to, everybody can jam to it, but some of the people are going to like, oh my God, this is my song. You know what I mean? Like,
that means a lot, dude. That's what I'm going. So like the way I've always described how I'm trying to write, and I have this thing where like I was raised super not like this, not super, super, not dramatic.
Right.
Like it got literally pounded out of me by my brothers, actually pounded out of me.
No,
I'm joking. They're good dudes. But, one dramatic thing I will say that's like kind of over the top artisty stuff, like weird frilly stuff, is the way that I try to write songs, and this is not how I write songs. Mm-hmm. I haven't like done it well, I don't think, yet.
Okay.
But the way that I try to write a song is there's dudes out there and there's girls out there, there's people out there that want to say something to somebody or about something and they don't know how. And it's like, it's the writer's job and the artist's job to say it for them. And because some people just can't. A lot of dudes just can't.
All right, so I'm gonna say what I'm gonna say and let you finish.
Yep.
Just like what you're saying, I will send songs to my wife.
Boom.
I'll hear a song, I can't say that stuff, I'll send it straight to her.
It's either because you don't want to, because you're a dude, because some people, and there's nothing wrong with that, and I'm not even saying, I want to make it clear, I'm not saying I do this well. I'm trying to do it well.
I know what you're trying to say.
Well, I'm trying to be
humble. You're working on it. Yeah,
I'm working on it. But that is...
You know what the job is.
That is the job.
Yeah.
And I think that we're losing that a little bit in country. I think Riley Green's doing, guys like Riley Green. There's a bunch of guys that are doing a really good job of bringing it back. But we definitely lost it there for a little while. Like, you know, Chuck, the beer, the girl, the dog, all that stuff.
But you got to put that stuff in there. Bro. I'm telling
of course.
You, some beer drinking.
People want to drink beer and hang out. But my favorite kind of song to write is the Morgan Wallen, Jason Isbell. Jason Isbell actually wrote it. Cover Me Up.
Oh yeah,
that's the kind deep. Of stuff that
super deep. Yeah.
You know?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
You
yeah.
hear that and you're like, that's gonna stick with you for a portion
that's a
of your life.
Sad song, bro. I don't even know what the heck it's about. No,
right. But when you hear it, you're like, dang, it sticks with you for a portion of your life. Like there's songs that'll come on. Everybody has, this is what music is.
Mm-hmm.
There's songs that'll kick on and you're 17.
Yeah.
And you're like, whoa. You know, a song will come on, you're 17, your mind, you remember when you heard it, you remember like that song, you know, it's like, I'm trying to write songs like that. I haven't done it quite yet. Cause if I had done it, you know, I'd have a record deal, and
I mean, I don't. You know, maybe not enough people's heard your music.
400 acres, not 40. And
hey, we're just putting zeros on the end of it. No, I mean, there's songs like "Drink a Beer" by Luke Bryan.
Boom!
Dude, they played that at my damn best friend's wake, and I still can't listen to that song. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like every you're time right it there. Comes on, I turn it. Like it's a great song, and it's just I can't do it. you know?
That's what it's supposed to
be. I mean,
I
don't, you know what I mean? Like, it sounds like a terrible thing, but.
No, I get it.
It's like, I mean, that's the first thing that popped in my head. And then there was this, like, a bunch of great songs, like the year me and my wife got married.
Yeah.
Like the Honeybee with, Shelton. Blake Shelton, yep. And stuff like that. Like, you just.
Go right back there.
Yeah.
To me specifically, that's what country music's supposed to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is put you right in that spot. Tell a story. And also, at the same time, drinking beer, ripping around in trucks,
yeah.
Killing deer.
Yeah.
That's the kind of stuff, you know.
Yeah,
it should be both to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's living a really humble kind of life, and you can't just not. I mean, dude, we need that kind of stuff. You got to put that stuff out there because, well, I'm telling you, I need it to send it to my wife. I'm telling you. I got to have it.
That's what I mean, man. Me too. You know?
Because, I mean, you ask her. There's at least once or twice a week, and, I mean, probably not enough, but I'll shoot her a song that just comes on, and I'll just send it straight to her because I know she's working and she'll have her headphones in. But it really helps because I don't have to say nothing else. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But definitely we got to have them redneck songs for sure.
Oh,
gotta
yeah.
have that.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Who are some of the most famous people you've met so far and like that kind of blew you away? And now I remember what I was going to say, but go ahead.
Okay. So I've had the privilege of meeting a lot of writers that have written.
And like classic songs.
The real stuff, you know.
Really?
But Jake Owen was huge for me. I grew up on Jake Owen.
I like Jake Owen.
Warren Zeiders was cool to open for because when we opened for him, I think we played in front of like the max 4,000 people. And now he's doing like arenas and stuff. I actually did a show with Shooter Jennings. To me, that sticks out more than they have. And we played in this. Dirk Bentley was playing at the Lakeview Amphitheater. And I had this show with Shooter Jennings. And there was like, without exaggeration, 25 people there. While Dirk Bentley's playing to an amphitheater. But to me, I was like, this is, of all the people I've met, Chase Rice, Libra, we've done a lot of opening slots. We really have. That was the coolest one. I was like, this dude is a Jennings. Like, this is the real deal.
Dude.
And he was exactly what you would expect. He did not say two words to me.
Yeah.
They smoked a ton of weed.
Yeah.
And the music was great. He just did his thing. He was exactly what you would expect him to be.
There is some really good Shooter Jenny. Like some of his stuff kind of gets weird, but I like
Steady at the Wheel. Remember that one? That was NASCAR for like
he's got a song called Carolina or something.
Yep.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Lonesome Blues is one of my favorites he does.
He rips, man.
Yeah,
he's rips. Good.
That's an incredible story. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's one of my favorites. But we've opened for a lot of people. This weekend, actually, I should probably promote it. Me and my guitar player, Chad, we're just doing the duo. It was a pop-up show.
Mm-hmm.
But we're doing a show with Chase Matthews at Keg's Canal Sign. So stop out to that.
Yeah, heck
Chase
yeah.
Matthews. The ticket sales are there's like not a lot of tickets left, so get in there. I don't know when this comes out, but
when is well the podcast I'm gonna try to have out by tomorrow morning.
Perfect. So
and
stop out this Saturday.
Yeah, this Saturday.
Yeah.
So there's one thing that I've been noticing about country music, and I don't know if it's because of the kind I listen to, but you seem like you listen to the same kind. It seems like it's evolving into an Americana. Like, mm-hmm. It's more of, like, to me, all the good rock and roll guitar players are going there. And you've almost got people like Morgan Wallen. It's almost rapping. You know what I mean? Like, it's almost rapping. And then you've got incredible lyrics. Like, you've got this, some of it's not even, like, almost, I don't know how to describe it.
It's like split in three ways.
Yeah.
So you have like the rap and pop stuff, Sam Hunt's,
mm-hmm.
sometimes Morgan Wallen, like that kind of deal.
Yeah.
And then you have like, I don't even know if you consider them country, but like Tyler Childers, Zach Bryan,
mm-hmm.
and they're going this way.
Yeah.
And then you have the straight down the middle guys.
Yeah.
The Cody Johnsons, the Riley Greens, the I'm trying to think of another name, but those type of artists, straight down the middle country,
mm-hmm.
like 90s, bringing that back country. And then you have this like indie kind of, you know, Americana sort of weird yeah. stuff going on. That's awesome. I personally love that stuff. You know what I mean? Yeah, Coulter Wall like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the more poppy stuff. And I don't think there's anything wrong with any of it, especially I'm more of a middle of the road artist. I really do. I'm not the guy that's like, I love Hag and I love, you know, Hank Williams Jr. I'm 27. Like, to say that would be a lie. I listen to Eric Church, Justin Moore. I listen to a ton of George Strait, a ton. So I grew up in that, which Eric Church isn't, but I grew up kind of on that straight down the middle.
Yeah. Eric Church is the man. Oh, dude. There is nobody. Like, I think if I had to pick one, Eric Church.
Me too.
Eric Church.
Me too. Man. There's not even a way to describe him. He's the man.
He is. Like, his music is all over the place, but not, you know what I mean? Like, it's great.
That's actually somebody Jake Owen brought up to me when I was chatting with him, which was like crazy to even say, but he was like, you know, I think a lot of these guys, when the opening act come up to them, they're like looking for advice,
mm-hmm.
the opening act. And I try not to do that, because the reality of this whole game is like, nobody really knows how to do it.
Some people
just get there and some people just don't. And it's that simple. But they have like these memorized kind of things where they're like, oh, you just, you know, keep at it. And they like give you a hit on the shoulder.
Like a football game.
But I was like, just listening. And he was like, there's kind of two ways to do this. Like, you can do what the label tells you to do and put out hit songs and stuff like that, which is totally fine. And there's a lot of great songs that come from that, and the writers get cuts from that, and that's all great.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can do what Eric Church did. Like, called him out specifically and was like, he did what he wanted and got a record deal anyway. And it was like, in that moment, I was like, even the top of the food chain, like, recognizes that Eric Church is the dude.
Yeah. You know, like, he's the chief.
Literally. Like, even those guys look at Eric Church and are like, yeah, he's the dude.
Wow, dude.
Because he did whatever he wanted, and he sang whatever he wanted, and he put out whatever he wanted. And it all went number one, and it all went platinum, and it's all awesome.
I'm thinking of 1,000 Eric Church songs right now.
The best stuff in his records is stuff that never gets played in the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, one of my favorite songs, that was the High Wire song. Like, I love
High Wire. That song rips.
Yeah, it's great. You've never heard that on the radio. Mm-mm. But. So what do you think, you do and or could do or going to do that's going to set you apart from different artists out there to kind of get you out in the spotlight a little? Because I think, obviously, you've got the whole New York country thing at your hand. I don't know how to describe it, that it's a real place that needs to be exposed. Needs some
representation.
Yeah, it needs some representation.
Yeah, sure. I don't know if I'm the guy for any of that. It would be awesome if I was. I don't know if I am. But what I would hope to do different, I guess, is like, I think if you saw us, I think the only kind of point of pride for me, like, mm-hmm. where I'm really like, I think we do that well, is I have an incredible band.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the guys that are around me, steel guitar player, the whole deal, they're awesome.
Yeah.
And I think our live show is at a professional level.
Nice.
Like, if you came out and you watched our live show, you'd go, this is a professional act. And everything else is going to grow around that. But, and I'm not talking about my vocals, I'm talking about it as a unit.
Yeah.
Is, I think, close to, I mean, obviously, always needs to get better, always needs to be better, but it's close to a professional level. And I think that is what's going to, set us apart in the next couple of years, is just how hard we have worked on that live show.
And so one more thing. Now, when you went to Turning Stone when you were younger and you saw Gary Allen, and you said that's what you're going to do.
Yeah.
Is there another moment like that that you're living towards right now? That's you're like, hey, I want to do something bigger, and you're working towards that actively.
Yeah. So right now, it's just being able to.
Because because you got it going on, right? And what when it happens when you get things going on is you can get complacent, and I just wanted to use that word to throw it in your head and see if you're how inspired you are to
keep achieving. I'm fortunate. I think, and again, this is going to sound extremely arrogant. I don't mean it to.
But trying to pull that arrogance out of you.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, I'll give you some.
Yeah.
I think that another area that I've been extremely blessed in life, and I don't know if it's natural or it's my parents or it's my brothers or everyone around me. One thing I do really well is I'm super honest with myself and I work really, really hard. I'm talking, I do.
Yeah.
When a lot of people are sleeping, I'm not. That's the only way that I can even put it. I work really hard at this and doesn't matter. And I know everybody kind of says this, but I really mean it. It doesn't matter how well something went. It needs to be worked on in my head. We're going to do it better. We're going to do it bigger. I'll always be that way. And the best part about what I have going on right now in this project and the reason I'm so proud of that live show is I'm not the only person that thinks like that in my group. And it's so rare to not have – it's so rare to have one person or two people that think that way.
Mm-hmm.
But to have five or six people that are all thinking that way is powerful.
Wow.
And that's what I have right now is five or six guys that are not like – yeah, well, the whole crowd thought it was great, so we're awesome, and, you know, we'll see you guys next week.
Yeah.
We get done with the show, and the place could be 5,000 people going absolutely nuts. We've done it. They're going nuts. Everybody's like, oh, you know, signing autographs, like doing the real stuff.
Doing it.
We get in practice on Tuesday, and every one of my guys go around in a circle. I missed this freaking note during that song. We have to go over that solo. I'm sitting there like, did you guys hear that? Being... guys that are willing to be like, that was a great show, but this sucked, mm-hmm. and then work on it, is one of
that's a championship.
One of my
team.
Strong you know suits, what I mean? And I think that's that the awesome. People around me, yeah,
that's incredible, dude. That's awesome. I wish I had five camera guys.
Well, but being able to be like, if there's any kids out there, the one piece of advice that I'd feel comfortable, because I don't feel comfortable giving advice to anybody, because if I knew how to do it, I would have done it.
Right.
But
right.
The one piece of advice I will give anybody out there that's trying to do this, a younger kid or something, is you gotta know when it sucks. You have to know when it didn't go well. There's shows that I've done where I was like wanted to crawl under a rock when we were done within my old band, and somebody in the band would be like, that was awesome. And I'm like, oh my God, dude, that sucked.
Yeah.
You got to be able to tell yourself when it sucks, because that's what's going to make you awesome.
Tell yourself when it sucks. I'm going to use that on the promo for this. No, I'm kidding. So that way you got something better to work on and everything. And you got that picture of that deer you were going to show me?
Yeah, man.
I want to see that.
So, you know, there's a lot of guys out there killing absolute monsters, 160, 70, 80 inch deer. That's not me. But last year I did kill a gross score. It was 132 and 5/8.
Yikes.
Out by me and 9 point and good old deer. Here it is right here.
What?
Yeah, so that was a good deer there. I was happy with them. I'm happy with them all, but I was particularly happy with that one.
Where is those antlers?
So he's at the taxidermist right now. And I'll be getting them back soon.
Really?
Yeah. The other bucks that were ahead of me in line are starting to come out, and I'm seeing pictures of them. So,
wow.
I killed that one. I should say harvested. I harvested that one, and yeah. I was able to harvest one in Tennessee with my buddy Styles. And actually, my girlfriend harvested her first doe last year, so that was pretty. That was pretty awesome. Got her into it. She's hook, line, and sinker now, boy. Oh, it's over. Yeah, yeah.
Uh-oh. So you played down in Carolinas yet?
Yeah, I played North and South Carolina a few years ago now.
Yeah? Do you remember where you went?
Washington, there? North Carolina.
I have no idea where that's at.
Yeah, and then I don't know where I played in South Carolina. South Carolina, I got a great story for you.
Tell me about it.
My old booking agent, mm-hmm. who was not a great guy.
Right on.
Booked me a show down in South Carolina. But I feel like everybody needs that first guy that's like, yeah. you're going to be a star, kid. And yeah. then they suck. he didn't suck. He was a good dude. He got yeah. me. Anyway, got me the show down in South Carolina. And he's like, we got this awesome show and it pays, you know, whatever. It was a ton of money to me then, enough to make me drive to South Carolina immediately.
Yeah.
We got to South Carolina and he was like, show's canceled. I was like, what, dude? He's like, they canceled it today. I don't think there ever really was a show. I think he just wanted to go to South Carolina. So he booked a show at a place called, like, whatever the area code was. It was, like, the 712 or the whatever, 615 or whatever. And this is the kind of place in the South, and I'm not picking on it because there's places like this here and there's places like this everywhere, but I was not allowed to be there from New York. So I told my booking agent, as soon as I walked in there, I said, look it. Don't talk. He goes, what do you mean? I said, see these boys in here? He goes, yeah. I said, they're going to beat us up, dude, for real, if you talk. And he's like, all right. And they...
I'm trying to picture where you were. Do you got any idea what we were close
no,
to?
No, it was like the... It was an area code. Not a good spot, man. Really not a good spot. The whole place was blacked out. I was playing on the stage, and next to me was a dehumidifier the size of that chair running. So I'm playing, there's a dehumidifier, like... So, I start playing. I'm only singing because I sing with kind of an accent, just how country music is.
Yeah.
I'm kind of singing. Nobody's really catching on. I'm not talking. But sorry, the best part of the story is I'm getting ahead of myself.
Yeah.
I walk into the bar and there's a guy sitting there and he's like, you guys want anything to drink? And I'm like, no. That's all I'll say. I'm like, nope. All good. Thank you. And he ended up being the guy who owned the bar. I didn't know this at the time. And he puts his arm up on the table and pulls his sleeve down. And there is a cut on his arm this big. Just, like, gnarly. Like, looks like he just wrecked the Harley on the way in.
Wow.
Sets it on the bar, wraps it up right on the bar. Like, on the bar. Which I'm not really, like, too squeamish, but I'm not getting a drink or eating at a place where somebody's just treating a wound at the bar, man. You know what I mean? Like, so he treats his wound, wraps it up, like, throws, like, a chef shirt on. He's at a bar. I don't know what was going on. And long story short, that's one of all the places I've been, except for Jackson Hole, Wyoming, which is my absolute favorite so far, South Carolina, and that bar. Sticks out in my mind every time.
I wish I knew where that was. I feel like you were probably in Spartanburg, but I don't know.
It was gnarly. And they just said that when I got done, though, the cool part about that place was is when I got done, because of some of the songs I played, mm-hmm. I knew what to play.
Yeah,
I knew what to do.
Yeah. Some you knew of the job.
Yeah. So after I got done, everybody was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like, it was chill. But my manager was, like, a real New York guy. Yeah. Got on his phone, like, really super, like, New York. You could see it. And I was like, you got to not
do that.
Yeah, I was like, just sit over there and look dangerous or something. Like,
you know? Dang, bro. That's crazy. I'm trying to think. Like, there is some wild, I mean, dude, there is some spots down there.
There's everywhere, man. You know, there's everywhere.
There is some spots.
There's some spots there. There's some spots. I've done a couple shows in Florida that got a little. I've done spots here in New York that are crazy. Yeah. Crazy, you know?
It's what's like, some of the craziest stuff you've seen?
You know what my favorite thing? And this isn't really crazy, so it's going to be a terrible answer to your question, but I really, really love. Oh, man, this is going to make me sound like a mean guy. I don't love it, but it. No, you know what? Whatever.
Send it.
Everybody loves it.
Yeah.
I love watching dudes get hammered and then completely botch trying to pick up girls. So when I was playing a lot of, and we still do play some bars, but when I was playing a lot of bars, like that was my main, we weren't doing a lot of big stages and stuff. Mm-hmm. What people don't know is when you play your set so much and you throw new songs in and stuff, but a lot of the set, you know, 50, 60% of your set that you've been doing for a long time, you don't have to think about it.
Right.
You just play the guitar and sing. So you can listen to what's going on. And the speakers are going this way, but I can hear what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I love watching dudes just get hammered and walk up to girls and say the craziest, like, not anything, you know, vulgar, rude or disrespectful, but like try to pick him up with just the worst lines. And it's like, sometimes you just want to stop everything and be like embarrassed for him. Like, holy cow. And the thing about dudes is we're so dumb. They don't get it.
Yeah.
Like, she'll be like, whoa. And he's like, whatever, you're dumb. And then he'll, like, walk and do it to another girl. And it's like, this is incredible. People watching's fun sometimes.
Yeah. I've watched my buddy play, and he's had these crazy-looking people come dance right up front. And I'm like, how do you focus? And
every show where it's like you're not sure how it's going to go, this is so funny you just said that. Every show where it's not sure how you're going to go, the first couple of songs, some wild, like, personality comes crawling out of the stage and just dances right up front.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's almost a staple of live music. It's like one guy or gal that is just going gnarly up front.
Yeah, yeah. How do you deal with that?
It happens so much. Like, two things that happen a ton when you start a show is Freebird and that. That's what's cool about music. And sorry, I'm going to go on a tangent here. What's cool about music to me, and I think what's cool to every musician, is when nobody knows you. So, like, we go a lot of places and we have a crowd, and then we go a lot of places. Nobody really knows us. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? We're not on the radio. We don't have a record deal. So when you show up somewhere, you have to prove to everybody that you're good. It's one of the only professions where every single night you have to be like, hey, we're good enough for you guys to listen to. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you do, and sometimes you don't.
Okay.
But you have to do it every show. That's one of my favorite parts of music. So the start of a show where nobody knows you is pretty predictable. You'd be surprised. You're either going to get somebody up front dancing, or somebody that's like, Freebird, or somebody that come up like, what kind of songs are you playing? You tell them, and they're like, you know, that sucks. And it's like, but that stuff's pretty predictable, and that's what's fun, because then you're like, you know, you could start, you play a couple songs, and people are like, all right, this is okay, and then you kind of gain everybody's trust, you know?
So are you working on any, you said you didn't have any record deals, but are you looking at getting any?
So I like, got a...
What's the next step for you is what I'm saying?
I got a pretty steep uphill slope when it comes to a record deal because I live in New York. Mm-hmm. So my distribution's in Nashville. My manager's in Nashville. My buddies, you know, in music are in Nashville. Studio, everything's in Nashville, but I live here. Mm-hmm. That immediately makes an already steep slope much steeper. So right now, I'm trying to build the presence at each show. So if I can get to it, if I could get to 1,000 people every, if I can play two shows a weekend, 1,000 people will show up and buy tickets. That's the live goal. Mm-hmm. And the social media goal is just to have as big as numbers as possible. Push out good content.
Mm-hmm.
Try to get people engaged. You know, that's really all I'm working on right now, because there's no record deal that's going to come knocking for me until I'm very established. Like, I'm a little established now. I'm really trying. You know, you could see my social media. I'm trying hard. But until you're super established, they don't even. A guy like me, I would have to, I'm going to have to have a, be pretty established already before they're going to come calling.
So there's no way, that's how you approach them, is kind of like on the side a little bit?
Yeah, I just want to...
remember, I'm going back to where you talked to your stepdad about getting into the business and where that path is going to next. Like, I would be nuts trying to get a record deal if I was you. Because you got it, dude. You got some cool stuff. I mean, your songs are great.
There's pros and cons that come with signing a record deal too early. And I don't think anybody talks about that. And it's not like anybody's beating down my door, so don't think I'm that guy.
Right,
But at the stage I'm at now, it'd be hard-pressed for a record label really to want to get involved anyway. I mean, the most streams I have on a song is like 500,000. Mm-hmm. Which sounds like a ton, but it's really not in the grand scheme. you know, locally it's okay, but you get on the national scale, $500,000 is like a drop in the bucket. Mm-hmm. So if I were to sign a record deal right now, if somebody came like, we'll give you a record deal, it would be like, I would have to preemptively be like, why do you want to sign me? Because there's no really reason for anyone to want to sign me right now. It's a business. This is a business.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would, you know, that's another thing I would say that I feel comfortable giving a small amount of advice to anybody that's wondering out there is like, the difference between somebody who's in a weekend band and somebody who's really, really, really driving at this with all they got is the one that's driving it, it has to run it like a business. It's not about passion. Like, it's like 5% about how good you are at singing, like 10% about how, you know, like the emotional stuff. And the rest is all business, straight business, you know, and you have to be able to handle it that way. So if somebody were to come to me right now, I'd be like, why do you want to say you can't make any money off me yet? You know, mm-hmm. they got to be able to make money off you.
But in a way, wouldn't it, no matter what they did, if somehow somebody did come along, I mean, mm-hmm. couldn't you take advantage of them at the same time by getting the record? They would help promote you at least, you know,
you'd hope. They got good lawyers. and stuff goes under, and you don't sign for like a short amount of time. They'll sign you for like 4 years, and if they go under or something, there's all kinds of different.
4 years is too dang long.
There's all kinds
I'm thinking
of
about the next one after that.
Right. There's all kinds of different, like signing a record deal is obviously like everybody's goal, mm-hmm. but signing a bad record deal doesn't get talked about enough, and it's like you're done. I'm 27
Who
now.
Who do you know that signed a bad record deal? Or have you, you don't have to say their names, but do you know?
I don't know anybody personally or that I could even, that I could talk about that I think made a bad decision or signed a bad record deal, number one.
What are ones that you heard about is what I'm saying.
Well, there's, if you get on, you can get on YouTube. Like, this is an easy way to do this without getting, saying any names or anything. But if you go on YouTube, a lot of, back in the day, a lot of rappers that signed contracts, with record labels that were trying to take advantage of them. And back then it was because of the color of their skin and political reasons.
It's P. Diddy.
Well, a lot of the, they would sign these guys and a lot of these guys were, you know, of all different kinds, were illiterate. Yeah. They couldn't read or write. They didn't. But they were wicked talented. So mm-hmm. they'd sign them and they'd be like, hey, we'll give you $500,000. And they're like, awesome. Done. Sign it. Done. I'm playing to stadiums. What they didn't tell you is, they gave you $500,000, but you owe that them back. And you have a tour bus and you have a tour, but you owe them the money that they paid for all that back. And they own all your masters and they own all your publishing. So you can't make any money off your music. So what they end up doing is you're famous and broke.
Yeah.
And they own you because you constantly owe them money. So there's no way to climb out of the hole. So they'll give you $500,000 because they want to this doesn't really happen anymore that I know of because people have become wise
I've heard
to
about that stuff.
Back in the day, they give you $500,000 because they want you $500,000
right,
of that.
Right. That sounds like a sounds like a bank thing.
And then they make a few million, you know, off you.
Dude, so you said you're about to put out your favorite song that you've done yet. What other song have you put out that you've done the most work on, and that's your current favorite song?
For the Birds is like one of my favorite songs I've ever put out. Mm-hmm. It didn't get a lot of streams or for whatever reason. I didn't have any money to put behind it in marketing and stuff, but
and we ain't worried about that. We're talking about what's your personal
favorite. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's right. Personally, my favorite's For the Birds.
Yeah.
And
why's that?
I just think I really, really meant that one. Really meant it when I wrote it. Same thing with Girls and Whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
Really meant it when I wrote it.
That's the one I've heard probably 9 times.
Yeah.
In the past
appreciate
two
it.
Days.
They could obviously, all of them could be better. I listen to my own stuff and go, I want to plug my ears. I think every artist does that, but
I don't know, man. Like, it ain't bad.
It's not and I appreciate bad. It. Sure. But
I wouldn't lie to you.
But no, I think those two are probably my favorite.
Nice. And I got to figure out what the other one was. Like, I literally heard it wrong. I was trying to make it back to, I had to grill some chicken. It was raining, I guess,
dude,
right before
poured.
I came up
here.
Yeah,
it was pouring.
Raining. I'm like, man, I've got everything laid out to grill. Didn't even know. And then I heard one of them right before I came to my house and then, like, totally spaced on what it was. But I'm going to find it because I liked it a lot.
I appreciate it,
get
man.
Back through them tonight.
Yeah, text me up.
But, yeah, dude, I think we're going to get wrapped up and
yeah,
get
perfect.
Out of here.
Appreciate it, man.
I can't think of anything else. But, dude, I'm telling you, I'm digging what you're doing. One thing I'm really excited about is the North Country stuff. Because I think you have a spot, and there's a lot to tell about up here. And there's a lot of word to spread, and that's kind of what I'm doing. And I'd like to get you hooked up with my buddy, too. So I think y'all would do a nice – both the band
to,
things would go great together. So we'll see if we get that hooked up. But, look, I appreciate you coming
hey.
In and hanging out.
Thanks so much, man.
Yeah, man.
It's good meeting you. This is great. Thank
yeah.
you.
Like I said, I'll have the podcast out maybe tonight, maybe in the morning, depends on what happens when I get home.
Awesome.
I go to bed early. I'm up late doing
yep.
this.
I hear that.
And I get up, man, I'm the type of guy to get up, like you were talking about, like all the work you put into stuff. I get up at 5, go to the gym. I mean, obviously I sell cars and stuff,
yeah.
but I'm thinking about how I could grow this whole thing too.
That's when I'm up, 4:35
yeah.
every morning.
I meant to ask you, what do you do for a living?
So like my actual day job is yeah. our family business is my brothers own a body shop.
Okay.
They started that and they run that now. And I work with my stepdad. My dad's a truck driver
mm-hmm.
and my stepdad's a mason. And I'm a mason. I do masonry.
Oh, really?
Yep.
That's wild.
Stack up bricks.
Before I came up here, I was doing prefabricated staircases.
No kidding.
Around Charlotte.
Yep.
We build them in a shop, put them on a truck, take them out and install them. And, my first real job, I was building exterior door units, same kind of way, at a build table, slap them together, using nail guns, everything. And then I went and sold cars for a little bit. And
yeah.
the recession happened. Then I got out of that. Then I went back and I ran a drill press. I'm like, dude, this is not for me standing in one spot. I'm telling you. Then luckily, we got laid off from that. Then got back into, that's when I started boxing and everything. Got into stairs, worked my way up through building, installing, cutting parts, into management, back into sales.
It's crazy how God works, man.
Yeah, it
wow.
is. And then I came up here. But all right, man, we'll let you get down the road.
Yeah, brother. Thank you.